Why did the chicken cross the road? What are some other answers? I'm sure everyone has their own answer to that question. To get to the other side, to get away from Colonel Sanders, you can fill in your own punchline to that joke. And so the question that I always find myself asking when reading our gospel reading is, why did the rabbi cross the sea? The simple answer is similar to that of the other joke, to get to the other side. After all, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, and in this case, that straight line happened to go across a lake. Oh well, good thing he's God. However, reading through it this time, I realized that this explanation kind of misses something. I mean, Jesus really didn't have to walk across the sea. He could just as easily have told his disciples to wait for him on that side of the lake while he went up and prayed, then he comes down and joins them and they go across together in the boat. It's not like they got there any faster than he did, considering that he finished the trip in the boat. But there are actually two very important reasons why Jesus walked across the water. First, it shows that Jesus commands creation, and second, thereby, that shows that Jesus is God. Now, for the first one, we're going to start from our Old Testament reading to get a little context. Now, our Old Testament reading from Job chapter 38, let's remember where this falls in the book of Job. Job had everything for five verses. He had about 11,000 animals. He had 10 children. He was faithful and upright. God praised him as being a noble and righteous person. And then God allowed Satan to tempt Job or test Job for two chapters. And so Job systematically loses everything he has. First, all of the animals disappear and his children are killed. Then Job loses, as if that wasn't enough, his own health to the point that he is left sitting in the dust, scraping at his sores with a piece of broken pottery that may or may not come from his own house. And then he spends the next 36 chapters complaining to his friends that he had lost everything for no reason, and God wouldn't give him an explanation, and his friends spent those same 36 chapters telling Job, oh, it must be because you did something wrong that you don't realize. Why won't you just repent of being such a terrible sinner that God had to punish you in this way? And then we come to chapter 36, which is when 38, which is when God finally shows up and says, where were you? And the charge that God levies against Job here is that Job was not there at creation. If Job can explain how creation works to God, then God will answer Job's lament by explaining why he does what he does. And so in that way, creation is pretty darn important. God's control over creation is one of the things that sets him apart over and against man, or against humanity. God is the one who gives the ocean its limits. God is the one who makes it rain and who withholds the rain. God ultimately is the one who commands and controls creation. And so when Jesus walks on water, that shows him also to be one who puts creation in its place. Jesus walks on water the way that you or I walk on a sidewalk. Jesus can tell the wind and the waves to calm down, and they actually obey him, something that is completely foreign for us to do. There is something different about Jesus as compared to the regular run of humanity when we just cannot do this. You or I can only walk on water when the water happens to be frozen. I can tell the rain to stop, but if it does, it's because the rain wanted to, not because of anything I said. And so when Jesus walks on water, it shows him to have control over creation. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus is God. We like to divide the work of God into three parts between creation, redemption, and sanctification when it comes to teaching about God or when it comes to confirmation classes or even talking about the creed. Creation being God the Father created the world in 6 days. Redemption, God the Son became a human being and saved the world from sin. Sanctification, the Holy Spirit creates faith in people, which grasps the gift of forgiveness won for us by Jesus and then reshapes us thereby into God's people. All of that is true. But it also kind of glosses over the important detail that God is not divided in his work. It's not like the Son and the Holy Spirit were having a lazy morning in heaven while God spoke the world into existence. It's not like the Father and the Spirit were on vacation for 33 years while Jesus did his thing as he became a human being, living a human life, dying a human death. And it's not like God, the Father, and Son have been on a coffee break for the last 2,000 years since the Ascension, while the Spirit holds down the shop in making people holy. All of God is at work in all of creation. In all of God's work, all of God is present. And so at creation, all three persons of the Trinity are involved. The Spirit, we see it in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit was hovering over the deep, and then the Father spoke his word, the Son, to create. So this means that creation, and for that matter, rule over creation, is part of what it means to be God. And so when Jesus walks on water, that demonstrates him to be truly God. Job, in our Old Testament reading, he had no answer to God's question. God spends about 3 chapters going over and over asking Job question after question after question. Job has no response. He simply was not there. Jesus, however, was present at creation. In John chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus is God. This Jesus, the one through whom all things were made, who by his might holds the universe together, he is our God. He is greater than the creation he rules, and yet he became a part of that creation by becoming a human being like you and taking on himself everything that means. And he did all of that for you. He created the world for you. He redeemed the world by his death on the cross for you. He sent his Holy Spirit to make you holy. And today, again, he becomes a part of his creation once again for you under the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Everything he does it for you. So why did Jesus cross the sea? To be your Savior. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.